All right, everybody, it's time to talk about The Next Generation, Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 10, The Defector. And I guess this round of TNG episodes, we're reaching what was an unintentional theme, but will now become more intentional. Or that some reason I, like so this is, like, seems like we'll be covering some Romulan and maybe Klingon-style episodes, this round of episodes, because this is a Romulan in neutral zone-themed episode. Yeah, that'll be cool. Then we can hit up the B-O to the R to the G in the next round or something. Also, I love the Q, you know, finish off the Q episodes. But for now, the episode opens with a campfire, and there's two gentlemen sitting around the campfire talking, or are they giving lines? Is this a play? Is that Picard? One of them is Patrick Stewart, holding a pike. And another gentleman, there's a tent behind them. He said, is this a play? Like, I thought it was a play performance, even though I'd seen the episode once before. What does that say? Retention? There's a nice horse bray in the background and a chicken call. That took me a second. Data's like, remember, I don't know, Sansa looks like the Starks, Sansa in particular, looks good in a hood, like a hoodie or a cape, the hood of a cape. And Data also looks good. He's got a very stark, like a Game of Thrones, I guess, esque. His is kind of green cloak with a hood. We got one of the people around the campfire's rocking some chainmail. So is Data. Like Sansa, chainmail. Warms his hands by the fire. Then we realize there's a double Picard because Captain Jean-Luc Picard is reading along. Maybe as a director. This was my notes. We'll read through a little bit of dialogue, but then Data stands at the dialogue, a little bit annoyed. It's a Shakespearean dialogue. I don't know, first of all, Shakespeare-esque. And Data stands annoyed, says something back, and then Picard, he likes it. He says, splendid, splendid, and collapse. So, yeah, it's like, we'll talk about, like, the life of Henry V by Shakespeare. Apparently, this is from Act 4. Or three, yeah, four, and it's Williams and Bates, John Bates, and they're talking, and then they say, somebody else shows up, who is Data, but really, he's the king, I think, undercover, and, you know, they talk about their thoughts about the king. Data's kind of trying to say the king's just like them, just like them. Data's getting it, trying to get inside info. So we get a thematic, right, for brighter minds than me, this thematic carry through. But then we also get a little bit of a Data story, which is, you know, I mean, I always enjoy it. But let's see. Yeah, so they have a long dialogue, Doth, you know, ask, and then it's a break in the scene. Picard goes, "She said you're getting really good." And then the characters are like, "Who's talking?" Like they're still in action mode. And then Data says, "Yeah, I'm gonna study some more performances: Brana, Olivier, Shapiro, Kolnarch." And Picard goes, well, this is more about you learning the human condition through Shakespeare. And you do that by your own, what comes up for you, not through other people. Then Riker says, yo, Captain, get down here. Unidentified class in the neutral zone, heading towards Federation space. And Picard goes, okay, Data, we gotta hit the road. But they clear that out. Data says, well, why would the king go undercover if he's a leader? Shouldn't he be leading up front? And Picard goes, well, tell it, like, what is it Shakespeare saying about the king? The king wants to empathize and connect with the soldiers before this big action. And then Data says, you know, how about we do a performance for the crew? And Picard says, well, let's not rush it, all right? Also, Data's wig is a bowl cut, like not the same as I would have had as a kid, but it is that style. Okay, what else do we have? had to stop Picard from getting P-I-K-E-D by his own, by Picard. In the hall talking, he said, is this foreshadowing? Let's not rush it. They're on the bridge. Worf looks annoyed. Or his normal Worf face. Romulan scout ship is open hailing things. What does this say? Hailing us. Oh, they're hailing us. He says open a channel at first. Or maybe he says open hailing us, open a channel. Whoever's on there is requesting asylum. And they say on screen, then there's action music. We see that Ronald Moore wrote the episode. Booking, brooding time. Oh, this was a question. I didn't get a chance to investigate this. It's really unrelated to anything. Well, it said, okay, so how many holodecks, maybe I'll look this up, but like for another episode, like how many holodecks are on each ship, right? Because if the human condition's anything like it is now, I know they get food and everything, but the holodeck would have multiple uses, right? You know, education, adventure, escape, enjoyment, pleasure. So how do only officers get to use the holodeck? Like if I'm like a regular enlisted person or just a visiting contractor, because I mean, the holodeck must be going 24/7 unless it's only Picard gets to pick who gets holodeck time. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not cut out to live in a world where there's holodecks. It just not quite ever. I don't think ever. You say, well, he went out, you know, I'd be like Moriarty. They say, just put me in there then, you know, like make it like a Charlie Booker thing. Like, just get me in there and keep me in there. You know, I'll live my life in the holodeck, you know, depending on the program. Okay, then, what is this? Romulan versus Romulan, very green, red alert, 41 seconds, you got Picard. This is after the open. Picard's not happy. Let's see. Oh, yeah, people on ship. Just checking my notes. He says, explain yourself. The dude on the thing says, need some help here. What does it say? 140 by 205, move 5 kilometers, all stop. So that's the orders given out. Extend the shields to the scout ship. They're face to face with the Romulan ship. Picard says, lock phasers, open a channel. Picard kind of does a speech and then the vessel heads out. So let's see. Visual screen. Oh, open the channel. Of course, to intercept, stay out of the neutral zone. Oh, yeah. How long are you before they get into Federation territory? Formula 41 seconds. Picard says, you've crossed into the neutral zone and you're engaged in action. What's your tent? They don't answer. That's when the dude says, how about some help? Data's like, yeah, that ship's not doing great anyway. Position, oh, that was like 140-205. Okay, they extend the shield, so it's not going to last long. And then they say, well, the warbirds are like, I can add us. Regard says, Romulan vessel, you're in Federation territory unless you withdraw. And then it's out. Riker says, what's up with that? That's weird. Back headed towards the neutral zone, Romulan territory. Then the power goes off in the scout ship offline. Transporter to beam whoever's on their board. Worf and Riker head out to meet whoever it is. Energize. They said, holy shoulder pads. Romulans have serious shoulders shoulder pads, shoulder-enhancing devices. I must just see your captain, the Romulan says. Cannot wait, which Worf and Riker share. Look at one another. Let's see. Captain's log says, yeah, we got a Romulan defector. Low-ranking logistics, but a lot of information, a lot of secrets. Entree base, I don't know what that says. There's some secret base. E-N-T-R-E. W-T-F, I put, we just missed a base. Somebody says that. They say, geez, after the Battle of Charon, you know, Romulans are still mad, and they want to claim the neutral zone. 48 hours, they'll be ready to go. And then Riker says, WTF, we missed a base. And they said, yeah, it's going to be a great base for them, not for you guys. You better take it out. Because Worf says the Federation will not permit that. This is, I guess, Worf, Riker, and Sadal, or whatever. The person's name changes a few times. It would seem so. That's what he says. He has to say W-A-R. Yeah, Worf's like, nope. He goes, take out the base, yo. Riker's, I said, Picard's so cool. Oh, yeah, this is on the bridge. Also, Riker gets to drop his, like, light swear words a few times. Picard goes, I'm sure you're very tired. Worf, why don't you take him up to a medical and you have him get some rest? The dude goes, no doubt you got more questions for him. Picard goes, no doubt. And the Riker goes, he's got a double hockey stick of a story. And Picard goes, yeah, well, what do you think? And Riker goes, well, I don't think they'd know we wouldn't want them to build a base. So Data says, well, it's a Romulan ploy. You know, they want to, they test the enemy's resolve and make you act. Remember the last episode Scoots did? And Riker goes, yeah, trying to make us look like the aggressors. And then Picard completes the thought, yeah, Romulans will have an excuse to respond then. And Data says, that would not be an atypical Romulan ploy, sir. Always a chess game, Picard says. And then Geordi's rubbing his hands. At least we get to check out their ship and really go over it. And I liked this one. Let's see. So cool. Well, I can see you're tired. That was definitely one of my favorite parts. Is Picard is really boundary establishing in his leadership. Heck of a story. Geordi, Data. Something. Oh, so they say, okay, Troy and Riker, you talk to this dude. And Data goes, can I go along? Picard goes, nope, I need you on the bridge with me. So much to do. You know, we got to establish peace here, bro. We got 48 hours. Then the scout ship goes bye-bye. Then we go to Medbay. And Riker's like, dude, what's up with that? He goes, why wouldn't I put the ship on auto bye-bye? And Riker goes, excuse me for being a little bit confused, but I thought you were defecting. And he goes, yeah, but I'm, he goes, oh, all you want to do is exploit me and take advantage of me. Meanwhile, Crusher's working on him. So she's like, dude, sit still. And, he goes, how come you're so good with Romulans? She goes, there's some episode Scooter didn't see. Galadoran. And Worf goes, you certainly know a lot for logistics, clerk. And Sato goes, well, I know, you know, it's just common knowledge, dude. I got my rating code. Worf goes, did you know in Star Wars, they, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. He goes, it's pretty easy to pull off. And then he says, I don't think it calls Worf a Patak or something. And Worf goes, you're lucky you're not on a Klingon ship. And he says, remove this Tulsa from my sight. And Riker goes, your knowledge of Klingon curse is impressible. But, you know, as a Romulan might say, only a Vernul, rule, like a double F-O-O-L, would use such language in public, maybe. Worf, you have him go to bed. Or no, he goes, Worf, go get his room ready. And then Worf goes, sure. And then the dude's laughing. Riker goes, what are you laughing about, man? And he goes, I like him. I understand him. You know, he's like into it to the B-A-T-T-L. You know, he plays whatever. Not the Mario Party, the other one. Riker schools him and swearing. Dude nods and laughs. Yeah, then there's a commercial break. Then Riker owns, looks around. Fool, start water. Econometrics. Okay, let me see. Riker takes him to his room is what happens. Shows him, he goes, you can call me through the comm panel. We'll be back to talk to you. He leaves. And Sato goes, hey, water? And the thing goes, what temperature? He goes, 12 Ohmkeens or something. And the computer goes, I speak to metric system. And he says, cold, on the cold side of whatever your system is. And he has a sip. He looks around the room. And he said, even Romulans need water. Can't Picard make a speech about that? And they get to use the metric system, unlike us in America here. And then he sits on the bed. He checks, like, this orange good luck chip. There's music and then a commercial. But I did want to run through the room here. So let's see. Now on the screen, he's talking. Okay, so here he goes. So I thought it was interesting. In the room, they have, like, different things. Like, so, okay, the water just appeared. It's in an octangular glass. Like, for the people would have a drink with the rocks. There's, you know, paintings, plants. Flowers. Then we peek into another room without the bed that has, like, a, I guess it would be the dressing room. There's a dresser with a mirror, some plants. There's a bed, which is like a twin size platform bed. There's also a chair, a sitting chair. So I look in the review. I mean, I always forget what's in these rooms. I mean, this seems like a really big room, though. I mean, again, I've never been on a cruise ship or a spaceship, so I really don't know. Okay, so room, okay, then we're on scene one, computer, Data, and Picard are working. I don't know what the, maybe it's the computer they're working on. Let me see what it says. Starfleet Tactic, Science 1 Terminal, that's where they're at. They're working, Picard's got his arms crossed. I said I would pause it here too. Problem with it is, so they're doing a Starfleet tactical analysis of the neutral zone planets in there. 30, 40 or something. Nothing super interesting. Oh, they do a zoom of whatever planet they're talking about. That's when Picard crosses his arms. He says, yeah, Data. Well, we'll find out what he says in a second. They're looking at it. Data's looking at it. But it's on mute, so I'm subject Nelvana 3. Yeah, that's what they're looking at. Data does look and look like he's thinking and analyzing things. Computer stuff, yeah. Then Picard gets a priority one message in his ready room. 2-hour and 20-minute delay. We get Pat Picard's password. What was Picard and Data talking about, though? Nothing on the sensors, but the Romulans could be cloaked. Okay, what is Picard's password? Just in case you need his computer, I think you need his voice, though, but it's access 412 Mark 80, Picard Jean-Luc, Starfleet Priority Code Gamma. That's to decode the message. P41 Mark 80 is what I put it. P412 Mark 80. But that was wrong. What kind of encryption do they use? I didn't look that up either. And then the admiral is like, dude, you're on your own for right now. On your shoulders, Picard. He says, I don't know if it's a trick. You know, we're trying to, the Romulans said, yeah, they're protesting that you have the defector. Federation Council's convened. No doubt in my mind you're going to be the one dealing with this. So you have to decide if he's telling you the truth. But held towards Nelvana 3. And then the cool thing about watching these episodes like 5 or 6 times is I get to pick up on everything. So this is really cool because they leave this trail of breadcrumbs in a well-done way. So Picard says, Worf, get up here. I got to talk to you in private off screen. And he says, on my way. So that's like a breadcrumb for the end. What else? Calls Worf. Oh, then the engine computer, Geordi, Data Crusher, Picard, strange movements, zoomed Crusher, and possibly nods. So let's see. We got a captain's log. Yeah, we're in the neutral zone near Nelvana 3. If the guess is right, we got 21 hours till the base is ready. Oh, then the boss says Monitor and Hood are on their way, but they're not going to get there in time. We sent out just, you know, an alert. You know, everybody wants peace, but everybody's on yellow alert. Oh, Picard's still in his office, so Data comes in. Where is this? Possibly. Okay, let me see where I am. Oh, no. So I jumped ahead one scene. Okay, so they're playing this thing Geordi discovered, which is like the ship's movements were coordinated, which they say, that's weird. Crusher's in on this, too. And they said, well, they went after the scout ship, and they said, well, maybe it was like a soft going after it. And Picard goes, well, you think this is possible, Crusher? What do you think? You treated him. She goes, I don't think so, but it's a possibility. That's a zoom on Crusher. Then the captain's log, then the update, a second update from the admiral. Picard's in his office. That was at an engineering computer, by the way. He's at FaceTime. Oh, first he's FaceTiming an Earl Grey. Data, he goes, we'll send out a class one probe every meter or something. Data, long pause, sets down his tea to talk serious. There's a call back to King Henry. That will be all. And then he pauses right before a sip and lowers his tea down and quotes Shakespeare, which we'll cover right now. So he says, yeah, send out that probe, Data, every meter of Nelvana 3. Data goes, is there something else? He goes, yeah, Data, you're clear, your objective. And he goes, I want you to, he goes, I don't know what's going to happen with this situation, and it's kind of historical, so I want you to record it in a dispassionate way. And Data goes, I'll begin immediately. And then Picard goes, well, how's the crew feeling? And he goes, they're concerned but confident. Can't you tell? And he goes, nope, I can't be like King Henry and disguise myself among my troops. Oh, and then Picard goes, yeah, he quotes something from King Henry. Then we have Troy and Riker interviewing, what's this dude's name? Seidel? He rhymes Nelvana 3 with You Will See. It really, that made me laugh. Or somebody did. Yeah, go to Nelvana 3 and you will see. That's what he says. And they're really grilling him. He says it's their questions are irrelevant a lot. Riker gets cool and stern. Troy stares hard like she's trying to look her way inside him. We also realize, he says, my boss is Admiral Jarak. But basically, he's just complaining and kind of thing. And then we see Picard and Worf, because Picard gets a priority message from a Klingon vessel really quick. And he goes, Worf, can you handle that in a private? Take that call for me. Let's see. Probe on course. Worf's with LaForge. And Data, or maybe this is just Data and Geordi. I really liked this scene. Geordi goes, geez, my gut's telling me we got to listen to this guy. And Data goes, your gut? And he goes, you know, instinct, intuition. And he goes, doesn't that interfere with rational judgment? And Geordi goes, sometimes. And Data says, why don't you stick to the facts? And he goes, well, you can't always rely on simple facts. Sometimes they're wrong. Data goes, they can't be wrong if they're facts. And he could say, could you see into the future? But they say they can lead to wrong conclusions. And Geordi goes, well, what do you think? Is he a defector? And the facts today would lead to an objective conclusion that he is not. And then Geordi says, well, I think we're going to catch the Romulans with their pants down, like he says. Data goes, his pants? And he goes, it's a metaphor. And Data says, because of your gut? And he goes, well, yeah, that's a gut. But he goes, you can't always go with your gut. And he goes, I'll put it to you this way. You got your gut, you got feelings, get in the way of human judgment, confuse us, make us second guess ourselves, but we still need them to help it fill in the missing pieces because we never have all the facts. So then Data says, so you fill in the missing pieces with parts of your own personality, resulting in a conclusion based as much on instinct and intuition as fact. And Data goes, oh boy. And then Data says, but what if you don't have instinct or intuition? which is a little bit of a twist. I don't know, emotional twist for me. And Jordy goes, oh boy, something interesting here. Let's see, pants down, what? A metaphor. Jordy does not answer Data's last question yet. What if you have, because they say the probe. Picard takes a big breath when they say there's something coming out of the planet, some kind of electronic emissions. And Picard says, that will be all. There's a slow zoom and ominous music. And that, like, okay, maybe there is something on Nelvana 3. Then we're at whatever, 9 forward or whatever it's called. And Data's staring at the Romulan who's having a drink. And the dude goes, you've never seen a Romulan before? And Data goes, incorrect assumption. And he goes, well, how about some privacy? And Data goes, I want to see what my guts are saying. And he goes, oh, you're the android. He goes, they'd love to look at you and Romulus. And Data goes, no, thank you. And Data goes, this is the best viewport on the ship. The dude goes, I don't care about viewport reports, man. It's not my stars. I like that. These are not my stars. Even the heavens are denied me that I want to look at him. And he goes, can't you make a Romulan ale? He goes, we'd need the original to make it, and we don't know much about you. And he goes, well, you're missing out. He goes, Romulus is the best planet, best ale, best everything. Data goes, you got some regrets, eh? He goes, I had to do it, man, but I'll never see the fireballs of a Gothgull thawing again. And the spires above the Apex Sea. What does that say? Firefalls at Galgaloth. Dude even throws shade at Data a little bit. How can they bring Romulus, but not Romulus Ale? Yeah, but Data goes, it looks like you're not going to get to go home. He goes, the cold reaction of an android. Data goes, well, I'll still be nice to you. Why don't we go try to look at Romulus, And we see the spires and moons of a city. It's a valley of Chula. City's far off in a valley. And at first the dude goes, this is great. But then he goes, forget it. He goes, call Picard. I'm Admiral Jarak, actually. This is my home now or something. He goes, turn it off. Holodeck. I said, that's what I said earlier in the episode. But I got to make sure this wasn't in vain. Rorio, greet Admiral Jarak, who wants to see him. Okay. And then that's an ad. Then Picard's FaceTiming or whatever, messaging with the Admiral Hayden. Source of info. He goes, yeah, that's Admiral Jarak, but he's an unreliable source of info. So, and Picard says, bring Jarak in here. And wait outside. He says, have a seat, man. No more time. The guy goes, I don't have time to sit. Picard goes, have a seat. He goes, and this was really good stuff. Again, the shoulder pads. Picard raises his voice or deepens his voice because he goes, dude, we got to get to work. The Admiral Jarak. And Picard goes, you got to convince me you're telling the truth. Irrefutable evidence. Because you got no evidence at all. And he goes, Romulan defector that's an admiral? And he goes, well, I just want peace, man. And Picard goes, you're no man of peace. And the guy goes, that's why I went undercover. And he goes, I'm a hero in our world. And Picard goes, well, why should I still believe you? On what basis? He leans in on the chair. When he stands on that, like after he raises his voice, he says, on what basis are you prepared to tell us the truth or not? And the guy goes, well, I'm not going to tell on everybody. And he goes, well, you already made your choice. Fully make your choice or cross over or don't. And then Jarak tries to shade Picard. He goes, oh, don't you have a family? And Picard goes, no. He goes, well, you work too hard. Picard, man, this is where Stewart is just so good. He goes, this is all very interesting. And then Jarak tries to go off again. And he goes, Picard goes, listen, dude, I don't care about your speeches unless I have unequivocal cooperation. You know, because he makes this long speech about kids and everything. Then we're in the ready room. This was interesting because there's like chit-chat going on. People are looking out the window, all the officers, before Picard comes in. Then they all go and sit down. So I said, what are they, who chit-chats with who and what are they chatting about? They rush to their seats, they give Picard their full attention, and there's kind of a long silence, and Picard stays standing, and he goes, Jarak gave me everything, we probably need, or hopefully give us an edge, they all share a look on the news. He goes, he's going to be more valuable with his field command work. But Geordi says, great. And then he goes, well, don't depend on it, but set course for, number one, set course for Nelvana 3. Then we have second officer's log. This is data reporting. 43465.2, we're in a neutral zone. Violation of Treaty of Algernon. Romulans are probably cloaked and watching us, and we don't know what's going to happen. Riker does not like it because it's so quiet. Picard talks about the history of Custer. Nelvana 3 on screen. See, there's no sign and nothing. Nothing on the sensors. Riker goes, too darn easy, holy hockey sticks. And he goes, Data, get into orbit around the planet. And he goes, there's nothing around there, man. Just a subspace, or he goes, this ion and subspace stuff is still there, but we can't find a source. Probably moving in an orbital path with an 800-kilometer apogee. Let's see. Riker leans on Data's chair while they're talking. Maybe they left the planet. Maybe it's cloaked. Data goes, will there be distortion if it's cloaked? And now Picard's like not happy because Jarak rolls in. Picard raises his voice right away. He says, perhaps you're going to tell me why we're here, dude. And Riker goes, he means there's no base. And he goes, no, it can't be possible. He goes, I saw everything. And Picard goes, are you sure it wasn't disinformation? Like, didn't you get fired or something? And they knew you were a grouch. Like, maybe not every Romulan's a grouch like you. And is it a test? And he goes, no. And then Picard goes, well, then they played you. Whatever, what other exclamation point is, or explanation is there? They let you escape. And then Picard says, Geordi, get permission to withdraw. He says, yeah, Geordi, get us out of here. Riker says that. Riker says, permission to withdraw. Picard says, Picard also said, you know, they let you leave with an arsenal of worthless secrets. So then they go to leave, and then, of course, two Romulan ships appear. They, like, tap the Enterprise a couple times. They say damage. They say a little bit. Captain's not yet. They say, what should we do? Picard goes, nothing. It's just a tap on the shoulder. And then the Worf goes, they're calling. And Picard goes on screen. It's Tomalak. He goes, Picard, it was so nice to see you again. What are you doing here in the neutral zone? And Picard goes, you know why we're here. Come on. And he goes, oh, well, there's no incursion here. We're not doing anything. Guy's so smug. He could run for office. Let's see. All super pleased, smug look. And Picard goes, yeah, we just found these subspace ion subspace emissions or whatever. And he goes, oh, that was just our probe. Archaeological research cloaked, though. And Picard goes, really? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, is that why you came all the way across the neutral zone, broke all the treaties? That's not right. And Picard goes, yeah, whatever, we're leaving. And he goes, without even an apology, Captain? Picard goes, you really want an apology? I'll give you one. And he goes, no. He goes, I'll save you the time. And Picard goes, what do you want? And he goes, the Enterprise is what I want. Then Jarak goes, I can't believe this was like a trick on me, to trick them. He goes, you totally used me. And then Tom Alec says, okay, before we take the Enterprise, just send this guy back, and then we'll, you know, let you guys give up. And this is when it really gets good, because, like, if you're a Picard fan, because Picard goes, do you think I'm going to accept those terms? He goes, no, I expect you won't. It's just like the Austin Powers movies with Captain or Doctor. He goes, no, Captain Picard, I expect you won't. He goes, you have 30 seconds to decide. And Picard goes, I don't need 1 second, bruh. And he goes, give up, man, Picard. And Picard goes, if the cause is just and honorable, everybody on my ship's ready. He goes, are you ready? And he goes, idle threat, Picard. And Picard goes, Mr. Worf. And then all these Klingon vessels appear surrounding the Romulans. And the dude was, before the Romulans or the Klingons appeared, the dude was totally stunned by Picard's boldness. All fiction to test you. Oh, that was the very Dr. Evil. 30 seconds, don't require one. Picard proceeds with some Shakespeare. What will it be, Gerard, or what will it be, Tom Locke? You're surrounded by, what do you, you know, you're in trouble now. And he goes, we'll still get back at you guys. And Picard goes, and he says, I'll look forward to our next meeting, Captain. And then the Romulans take off. And he says, cancel red alert. Thank the Klingons, Worf. Aye, sir. And he says, take us back. And Jarek goes, I can't believe it. And he goes to the big firefall in the sky because he's like, I'd rather not. Leaves a letter to his wife and daughter, which Riker finds. And they go, well, we can't send it, Data says. And Picard goes, today. But with others with the courage of Jarak, we will see a day of peace where we can send his letter home. And with that, the episode comes to a close. Let's see, a couple of notes that came up during this episode. So the play, Henry V, history, what's it called officially? Henry V, a history play by Picard, by Shakespeare. It was written in near 1599. And it tells, focuses on the event immediately before and after the Battle of Agincourt. It was titled The Chronicle of the History of Henry V, which became the wife of Henry V. It's part of a series with Richard II, Henry IV, part one and two. So the audience would have been familiar with the title character. So this is interesting because I didn't really know that. So there's a lot of characters. I don't want to give you the synopsis. Let's just see if there's anything really. I mean, of course, it's a great Shakespearean play. You know, I'm not familiar with it, but the primary source was Raphael Holinshed's Chronicles, Edward Hall's The Union of Two Illustrious Families. It was consulted. Readers and audiences have interpreted the play's attitude with dealing with WAR in different ways, actually. So it could be read on as a commentary or on the complexity, or it could even be described as having multiple meanings. Yeah, let's see. It's had a lot of revivals. It's been adapted for film. Laurence Olivier was in the first movie in 1944. And then Kenneth Branagh was in 1989. And Olivier played some scenes as comedy in where Branagh played them more in a serious way. Well, and then Tom Hiddleston did one in 2012. Oh, and there's a 2019, there's probably another 2019 movie coming out, The King. Oh, so it's all adapted from all of them. There's also David Gordon did a dance theater version, Dancing Henry V, Suite from Henry V, William Walton wrote for the Olivier film. So there's a little bit about the play, just briefly. Who was Henry V, Scooch? Because I'm always here willing to learn more. It was King of England from 1413 until 1422. He was the second English monarch from the House of Lancaster. Short reign, but outstanding military successes. One of the strongest, made England one of the strongest military powers, immortalized in plays. And seen as one of the great warrior kings of medieval England, I guess, depending on your, you know, who's, you know, where you're from. Let's see. Yeah, 1450, Henry started the ongoing Hundred Years' War with France. Maybe that was his dad that did that. I guess they had to be over a long time. Let's see. Then they had a union following the arrangement. Everything seemed to be close to a union between France and England until he went by, you know, went to the big farm in the sky. It had a riotous youth. So a little bit of, I mean, I'll link to it. So there's definitely a lot more you could read about it. Now, what about Ronald Moore? Those of you that are like me, Battlestar Galactica fans, I haven't watched Outlander, but I'm a big Battlestar Galactica fan. I listened to a bunch of the Ronald Moore podcasts when he was making that series. I think he wrote some great episodes of Next Generation. Let's see, in 1988, he toured the Star Trek Next Generation sets. He passed a script on to one of Gene Roddenberry's assistants. And then 7 months later, he got a script into somebody's hands, which became that third series episode, The Bonding. And then he did do a lot of these Klingon-style ones, Sins of the Father, Reunion, Redemption 1 and 2, Ethics and Rightful Heir. He's credited with writing or co-writing 27 Next Generation episodes. He wrote a lot of them with Brannon Braga, or Braga. So they had a lot of working together. They also wrote the screenplays for the two movies, Star Trek Generations and First Contact. Then Moore joined Deep Space Nine, supervising producer, and became a co-executive producer. They worked on Star Trek First Contact, Mission Impossible 2. They helped on that one and on the script for that. He got to expand a lot of the Klingon culture in Deep Space Nine and got to start engaging with fans, which he did through Battlestar Galactica. Worked on Voyager for the part of the sixth season, but just a short part of it. Then eventually 2004 to 2009, Battlestar Galactica, who, I mean, I think for me is a great place in my heart. I really loved that series. And he's been working on a lot of other stuff since then, including Outlander, which, again, I haven't seen, but probably one day I will. So that was the thing. I mean, because Apple... Oh no! So then, more Apple also has a more series coming all for all mankind. So that's cool to know. Okay, one other thing I wanted to do is this chip and dip and cheese company, or chip dip and cheese company. Hell of a good HELUVA good exclamation point. We had this when I was a kid, and because Riker said it, I said, "Okay, what is it?" So it's American company, cheeses, dips, sour cream, and condiments. Is now owned by HP Hood LLC, so you can feel good about Hood. They had acquired Crowley Foods in 2004. So now they're based in Linfield, Mass. You probably find it at Wegmans. Let's see. They used to have a store in Wallington, New York, east of SOTUS, where all the cheese products were planted. So that's why it was in Syracuse where I was growing up. It was founded by SOTUS resident Perry Messenger in 1925, when he started making washed curd cheese as a hobby in the basement of the A.B. Williams Company, for which he owned and managed at the time. The name or the origin of the name, a traveling salesman stopped by a Messenger's store one day and sampled the cheese. He said, boy, that's a hell of a good cheese after tasting it. 1939, Messenger opened a cheese shop, established the company, and he had a little bit of an issue getting it, the name certified. He was known for having a humorous side. His executive officers were Father Time, Taxes, Geo Experience. And I think Father Time kind of was the mascot of it. Then in 1955, he sold the company to George Yancey Sr. in Rochester, who would turn it into a regional business. That's probably where I experienced, because it was, 84, Crowley Foods of Binghamton bought it. So that was about why I crossed paths with it. But I guess they're still using Father Time. They sponsored, their sour cream dip. I think in upstate New York, that was, a big thing, was their sour cream dips, which I don't, ever since I was a kid, I guess at, picnics and potlucks, there'd be a lot of hell of a good cheese, sour cream and cheese dips. So that's just interesting. I mean, I don't know. To me, it had to be discussed. So that's everything, and here's some thank yous and good nights.